to promote my new flower shop, I had one place print my business cards, another print my brochures, and a third, my signs. Now my roses aren't red, my violets aren't blue, my geraniums look dead, and I don't know what to do.
Staples can help your business stand out with signs, banners, and brochures that are a true reflection of your company. And now with Staples, spend $50 or more on print and marketing services and get $5 off your next in-store purchase.
Now my business is blossoming and I'm spending less green.
Exclusions apply. In-store only. Ends 6/23/18.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Girlfriend Network, where women stay connected with your host, Nicole.
And Karishma, right here on the Love Zone USA.
And welcome to the Girlfriend Network, and happy Monday. We are back on another Monday. Thanks for joining in, listeners, and please give us a call at 347-539-5729. We have a great show tonight, and happy Mother's Day to all our mothers. I hope everybody's holiday was fab. So I want to introduce my guest host tonight. Her name is Sonia Marquez, and she is the author of The Kinky Chronicles, and she is not unfamiliar to the show, because we've had her on as a guest before, but now she's on the other side of the fence, and she's co-hosting with me. Welcome, Sonia. What's going on,
Thank
girl?
Thank you. Hey, Nicole. Hey, audience.
Hey.
It's so great to be back.
Yes, we're so happy to have you. So tell the listeners a little bit of yourself. You're an author, and of you know your book, The Kinky Chronicles, which is hot, so you're going to like this topic tonight. I know.
Yeah. So, yes, I am.
Yeah. So tell them who you are, Sonia.
Absolutely. I am Sonia, a.k.a. Kinky Mac of the Kinky Chronicles. I am an eroticist, and I am also, I have my own online sex store called Everything Kinky. You can find it at everythingkinky.net, and I also do consults, but I am not at the level of our guest tonight, which I am so excited to talk to her and really dig into her brain.
Yes, exactly. We are talking to Tyomi Morgan Najib. I hope I'm saying her name right. And she's done a lot of great things, Sex Coaching 101. I'm excited to talk to her. She's got a lot going on, so very interesting. She has videos on YouTube, so.
Yeah, I was watching those. They were very interesting, very informative.
Yes.
And she's
very
gorgeous.
And she has a lot of viewers. She gets over 1 million hits on some of her videos, so pretty exciting. But before we talk to her, Sonia, you're a mom, correct?
Yes, I am. Mom's twins.
So, how was your, twins, how was your Mother's Day? What did you do?
I didn't do much. I honestly wanted to sleep, but I actually just went out to eat. It was fun. But I honestly think that Mother's Day should be a day where our kids are with someone else and we relax at the spa. That sounds pretty good to me.
Right, I know, because like even on Mother's Day, not all mothers get to enjoy, right? Because you still got to be responsible for the kids. I know some moms still cooked, you know, they might have went out to breakfast, but they still cook dinner or whatever,
exactly.
Yeah.
Do you have kids yet?
I do. Oh my goodness.
Well, happy Mother's Day
to you. He's a grown man. Thank you. My son is 28. So,
wow, I've seen your pictures, and you don't even look it, girl. God bless you.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. But, yeah, so I don't even have to worry about that. I can get the peace and everything that you're looking for. But we did go out to dinner, so it was pretty cool, you know, which is always nice because my son is doing his own thing now. So it's always nice when he wants to spend time with mom. So that was cool.
Yeah.
But it was crazy, though, Sonia, because Like, I'm a low-key type of girl. Mm-hmm. I don't need all the fluff and fanfare. So I was craving for Olive Garden. Isn't that crazy? We're giving Olive Garden a plug. But I just wanted, like, linguine, and I love their salad. So I said to my son, take me there. We could go there. And we went early because I'm like, let's go early and get in front of the crowd. Girl, we got there. It was a madhouse. Like,
it was crazy everywhere.
Oh, my God. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, it's Olive Garden. And the wait was like, for us, it was like about 20 minutes. But some people were waiting over an hour for a table. I'm like, at Olive Garden? Really? It was crazy, though. But, yeah, so.
Yeah, that's how it was at Red Lobster. We went to two. We went to one on 22. It was lying out the door. I was like, hell no, I'm hungry now. And then we went to Secaucus. And it was like a 45-minute. Literally, it took 45 minutes to get a seat. But everything was delicious, so I was happy.
Well, then it's worth it, right? Yeah, it was worth it to me, too. And then I came home, and I had the itis, and I had to take a nap, and, you know. Yeah, so I'm glad, with me it's like twofold. It's like bittersweet because I'm happy for the holiday and I love being on Facebook and seeing the moms get celebrated and recognized, but then it's sad for me because I lost my mother some years ago and my grandmother about 5-6 years ago. So there have been times that I sit over here and I wallow in pity. I'm doing better now, I try not to think about it so much and stay active. But, shout out to all the listeners out there who have, lost their mom.
Lost their child.
Right, yes, indeed. Wow.
Or even the ones who aren't so close, because I'm not close to my mom either. So shout out to all the ones who have a distance relationship. No, I'm not.
Oh, no, we'll have to talk about that. Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's
another
story.
Yeah,
that's
another show. Oh, wow. But I know she would be so proud of you.
Oh, thank
you.
You
are doing your
thing.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I'm going to pray on that for you and your mom, and hopefully one day you guys can reconnect.
Right. Well, thank you, Nico. And but I'm going to keep praying that God heals your heart, girl, because I would hate to lose my grandma. That would kill me. So I'm so sorry.
Oh, yes. Thank you. So we're going to take a break, and we're going to listen to Nice for What by Drake. And we'll be right back, listeners, right here on the Girlfriend Network.
I want to know who motherfucking representing it here tonight. Hold on.
Are you letting you back in? How can I explain myself? You said you stand on me, stand on me.
Louisiana shit. Murder on the beat. Something for y'all to cut up to, you know? Yeah. Everybody get your motherfucking roll on. I know shorty and she doesn't want no slow song. Had a man last year, life goes on. Haven't let the thing loose, girl, in so long. You been inside, know you like to lay low. I been peeping what you bringing to the table. Working hard, girl, everything paid for. First, last phone bill, car, no cable. With your phone out, gotta hit them angles. With your phone out, snapping like you Fable. And you showing off, but it's alright. And you showing off. But it's alright, it's a short life. That's a real one in your reflection. Without a follow, without a mention. You really piping up on these niggas. You gotta be nice for what to these niggas. I understand. You got a 100 bands, you got a baby Benz. You got some bad friends. High school pics, you was even bad then. You ain't stressing off no lover in the past tense. You already had them. Work at 8 a.m., finish round 5. Post all down, you don't see them outside. Yeah, they don't really be the same offline. You know dog days, you know hard times. Doing overtime for the last month. Saturday, call the girls, get them gassed up. Gotta hit the club, gotta make the ass jump. Gotta hit the club like you hit the motherfucking angles. With your phone out, snapping like you Fable. And you showing off, but it's alright. And you showing off, but it's alright. It's a short life.
breakdown.
Yo, what's up, y'all? This is Charlie Wilson, and you're listening to
The Love Zone USA, where you can listen to your heart, and we live and learn.
And we're back right here at the Girlfriend Network. Thank you, listeners, for joining us and tuning in. Please, please call in and talk to me, Sonia, or our guest, who we're going to introduce momentarily. Call us at 347-539-5729. And in case you didn't know, we got an IG. Please, please link up with us at the_girlfriend_network. So, Sonia, are you there? Our topic tonight is Sex Coaching 101, Glamorotica.
And oh, my God. We got, yes, it is.
You're there? Okay. All right, we're having some technical difficulties. We're good. Okay, so as I was saying, our topic tonight is Sex Coaching 101 or Glamorotica 101. We have on the phone the beast. Oh, my goodness, Tyomi Morgan Najib. I hope I'm saying your name correctly. Tyomi, are you there? Okay, while we wait for Tyomi to join us, I'm sorry, listeners, we're having some difficulties going on behind the scene. Sonia, are you still
it's
there?
Monday. Always.
I know. Okay. All right, I think she's here. So, again, let me introduce Tyomi Morgan Najib. She's a beast. We love her. She's going to provide us with some Sex Coaching 101 and talk about her channel on YouTube, Glamorotica 101. Tyomi, are you there?
Can you hear me? Because I've heard you guys the entire time. I think
oh,
maybe
y'all
are on mute.
We can hear you, beautiful.
Oh, my
right?
God,
okay,
we're
awesome.
So sorry.
It's all right. Hi, thanks for having me.
How have you been?
You.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I have been wonderful. It has been a very busy year on top of getting married, you know, I still have a lot of
congrats.
Things that I'm in. Thank you.
Yeah.
Very, very major life transition, but it didn't even really seem like it was much of an adjustment, just adding somebody completely wonderful to my life. And we pretty much do the same thing. I mean, he's more so in the area
mm-hmm.
of love than sex, but what mm-hmm. we do is in complete alignment. So we've
just
been
busy.
I
was just going to ask you about that, too.
Oh, yeah. We've been busy traveling, teaching classes. I'm actually the resident sexpert and seminar coordinator for the Exotica Expo, and we do 3 to 4 shows every year. So we're preparing for our next show in Chicago coming up June 8th through the 10th. We just finished Denver. Right after Denver, we went to Europe to teach in London and to throw an event in Paris. So we've been all over the place doing a lot. I mean, it's been a great year so far.
Wonderful, Black excellence. I have a question, though. How did you become a sexpert? Like, did you have to go to school? Did you have to get a degree? Or was it just something that you wanted to do and you were good at?
Well, this is the thing about sex education, the industry in general. It's an unregulated industry, so pretty much anybody can come along and say, hey, I'm an expert, even if they just have a little bit of knowledge. And no one's going to check them on it. You do have
mm-hmm.
those that go to school and they get degrees in sexology or in therapy of some sort, or they take some type of formalized sex education program. But I started my career as a model and freelance writer. And
yeah.
when my career took a shift in modeling, I decided to focus on writing primarily at my father's encouragement. And I had to think about something that I could blog about every day and not get tired of, and something that would actually bring substance to the world besides just blogging about makeup and fashion and stuff, which I also love. And so I chose sexuality because at the time when I started my blog, I was 22. And when I started doing my research, I didn't see a lot of Black women who were speaking about sex in a way that was informative, relatable, and empowering, and not just like, you know, it's okay to be a hoe, you know, which that's
mm-hmm.
fine if you wanna approach it that way. And there are a lot of people out there who just don't subscribe to that type of messaging. So I
mm-hmm.
wanted to represent couples, women specifically, and Black women specifically in a way that they wouldn't feel intimidated by, because so many people have issues with sex and relationships. And I just thought, all right,
yeah.
instead of me complaining about not having someone to look up to, let me just jump in this thing and be the voice. And so I started my blog, Glamerotica101.com, in 2011, Labor Day, and it just took off from there. And I started my YouTube channel, had already
mm-hmm.
had it like created in 2010, but after I started the blog, I decided, hey, you know what? I don't see anybody actually doing sex positions and showing how to get in them, so I'm just going to start doing that. And the channel just took off. I didn't have any expectations for YouTube, but I knew that it was a great tool to reach
mm-hmm.
people around the world and to grow your brand. And I said, all right, I'm going to go for it. And back then, YouTube had less censorship rules. Now it's like a whole nother beast because so many advertisers have come on and, you know, they've put money into YouTube. So a lot has changed,
mm-hmm.
but it's still a really good platform to use to get that worldwide reach. And
are you still able? I'm sorry. Am I cutting you off?
Yes. It's okay, though.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, beautiful. Uh-huh. Are you still able to, like, because I know, like, from my personal experience, it's, like, I find I'm really having a hard time, like, in the beginning, moving forward, writing about sex and erotica, because, like, a lot of people either shun you or, like, a lot of sites, content. Is it in this modern days, how did you get to this level? Like, giving advice to young Black women coming up under you who want a voice and, want to teach sex education, how do you tell them to keep going when there's so many things blocking them?
Well, first of all, you have to know the market and you have to know the internet. the thing about me is I've been interacting with the internet since AOL chat rooms, and I've grown with the internet. So I really stay on top of the changes, and I look at the trends, and you have to flow with how things are changing. Right now we are in a political climate where they are doing their damnedest to censor us, and it's not fair and it's not right. And unfortunately, in the midst of this, we have to make changes. So the last, like, for the last year and a half, I've kind of been laying low, specifically on YouTube, because last year they did a really big sweep, and not even just, like, with sexuality pages and stuff, but just in general, where even lifestyle bloggers who were making thousands of dollars from monetizing their videos were seeing no money at all, because they changed their advertising, you know, standards and stuff. And so in order for me to remain in good standing, because, like, the first few years of being on YouTube, my stuff was getting removed or flagged or and it still gets age-restricted, but I've been back and forth with YouTube for a while fighting for my right to be there. And there's way more salacious things going on YouTube than what I post up.
Yet
I was being targeted. And so it's all about playing it safe, and it's all about knowing how to get around things. And it's all about being unique to your voice and being unique to who you are, and remembering that this work that we're doing is not about being personally famous. It's about helping people. It's about healing the social consciousness and the collective consciousness and shifting that consciousness. And so those days where you're feeling frustrated, because I have them too, like my Instagram page got deactivated in February, and it was at 90K, about to break 100K in the week when it got deactivated. And I also had a video that was going viral at the same time, shout out to Nigeria, but, you know, they took my page down. And so when you spend so much time building and cultivating your online platforms, and then someone comes along and they report something, you know, and it's like you never know who does it, because they can do it anonymously, right?
Right.
You come along, they report your stuff, and then your entire platform is gone. And I have to say, shout out to Twitter, because I've been on Twitter since December 2008, and I've never had any problems with Twitter as far as them banning any of my work or blocking anything that I do. And I'm verified on Twitter, which is great, because that blue check goes a long way. But every other platform, like my Facebook page got hacked last year, and I had that page since 2006. And I haven't been able to get the page back, even though I can see the activity going on that page. So stuff like this happens, and people also steal your content, you know. So it's a savage world out there on the internet, and you have to be on top of your intellectual property. And I actually look at Kim Kardashian. I'm like, the Kardashians have such a monopoly over their image, and they know how to market themselves, and they know how to do it in a way that is tasteful and alluring. As much as people don't like them, I'm like, they have a great model, and if it's not broke, don't fix it. So I'm actually in the process of having an app developed right now, so that way... No, that's actually a kink, a mobile kink community, something like Tinder, but just for people who are kinky. I'm just advertising the app. But my app is the Glamerotica 101 app, so it's basically my blog, but the 2.0 version. And it makes it easier for people to access the content that I have and also keep up with me, because I do a lot. I move around a lot. I have a lot of content out there and a lot more content that I want to produce. But, you know, now with all the censorship stuff, it's really difficult to do things the way that I want to do them. So I have to live somewhere where I'm not going to be censored, because it's just too risky now to
not to interrupt you, but what is the problem? Because I looked at your videos. They're, like, nice, clean. Like, you're fully dressed. I don't know. What is the simulation of sex that they don't like? Is there a certain word that they don't like? Because, like, you...
I don't know.
I don't see what the big deal is. Like,
I've never known. It's just, it's one of those things where, again, they give the community members way too much power. And when they flag stuff, of course, it's a human that has to go and look into the videos, and then they make a decision. So I'm happy on YouTube, like currently, that my work is just simply being age restricted, which from now on, that's what I have to do with certain videos. And I have videos that I filmed, and they're in queue, and I haven't even put them up yet because I'm like, I just don't know what they're going to do with this. And two, I'm just waiting for the app to be finalized so that way I can serve, you know, use that as a funnel to draw people to where the real content is. Because at this point, the most that I feel I can do, because even if I'm wearing, like, I could be fully clothed and then they're like, oh, it violates the terms or whatever, or it's, you know, not suitable for all I mean, my stuff comes up in public search all the time on YouTube, so there are young kids that sometimes will come on the page, and honestly, some of them are actually looking for the content because they're having sex. It's one of those things where it's like, it's just another form of censorship, and I find that women of color specifically get targeted, especially if you have a certain sense of confidence, I feel, or if you're not packaged commercially where your sex appeal isn't quote-unquote offensive. And I don't know. I don't try to get too deep into that stuff and trying to figure out why. I'm just like, all right, let me just go another way. You have to be very solution-based when you work in this field because, again, you think you can put up something and it's tasteful, and then the next moment it is down. And then one thing that they also do is they have a way of, I guess you can say, kind of like restricting your post to where the visibility isn't as the visibility isn't as high. Like, they've been filtering out certain content for particular pages. I have a friend who works in the industry too, and she was saying that one of her followers was saying that Facebook was asking if her posts were appropriate or not. So they do their filtering, and this is why you have to really be aware of what's going on with these websites. Everybody's updated their terms of service within the last 2 weeks and changed their, you know, models and stuff like that. And so it's a thing. And people in the industry, everybody's been talking about it. Everybody's been figuring out ways to get around it. And then also advocating for being paid for what we do. Because even though we're on social media, and we put out a lot of information, we're not just doing this for our health or the public's health. We also do this because it's a livelihood. And sometimes people don't understand, like, you sliding in my DM is not proper to get advice from me, because this is something that I do as a career, and I'm not giving you advice for free. If you really care about what it is that you need help with, you would invest in yourself, because you're not going to go to your gynecologist or your primary care physician or your dentist and be like, oh yeah, someone, can you fix me up for free? Can you give me some meds for free? Can you fill this cavity for free? No. You go in there knowing that you have to pay a premium, or you have to have insurance, or you have to pay cash out of your pocket. Yet, when it comes to life coaches and individuals who choose to work in the healing arts, people don't respect our craft. They think, oh, because they're accessible online, I can just send them a message and vomit all of my issues onto them and then get an answer back. No, that takes way too much energy and too much time. And it's actually disrespectful of the work that we put in to amass all the information that we need to pass on in order to help people save time. That's really what it is. It's like you could go on Google and find this information or pick up some books and read them yourself, but because you want the cheat code, you come to us. So respect the craft and pay what we are saying is our rate, because this is therapy. It's in the form of life coaching, mm-hmm. but it's still therapy. And you would not go to a traditional therapist and say, oh, give me a free session. You wouldn't do that.
Yes. No. Well, hold on tight with me. We're going to take a break. We got to pay the bills. You are giving us so much info. We love this. But we're going to go to Cardi B, and we'll be right back with more with Tyomi.
I like stunning, I like shining, I like $1 million deals with my pen, bitch, I'm signing. I like those Balenciagas, the ones that look like socks. I like going to the jeweler, I put rocks all in my watch. I like sexes from my exes when they want a second chance. I like proving niggas wrong, I do what they say I can. They call me Cardi, Cardi, banging body, spicy mommy, hot tamale, hotter than a somali. Ferrari, hop up the stoop, jump in the coupe. Big dip on top of the roof, flexing on bitches as hard as I can. Eating halal, driving a Lamb. So that bitch, I'm sorry though. Got my coins like Mario. Yeah, they call me Cardi B. I run this shit like cardio. Diamond district in the chain. Certified, you know I'm gang, 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 gang. Drive to stop and blow the brand. Oh, he's so handsome, what's his name?
Chambean, pero no jalan. Hola. Tú compras todas las Yolambo, a mí me las regalan. I spend in the club, what you have in the bank. This is the new religion bank, el latino gang. Está toda servieta, pero es que en el closet tengo mucha grasa. Ya mudé la Gucci pa' dentro de casa. Yeah. Cabrón, a ti no te conocen ni en plaza. El diablo me llama, pero Jesucristo me abraza. Guerrero como Eddie, que viva la raza. Yeah. Me gustan boricua, me gustan cubana. Me gusta el acento de la colombiana. Como me ve el culo la dominicana. Lo rico que me chinga la venezolana. Andamos activos, perico, pim, pim. Billetes de 100 en el maletín. Que retumbe el bajo, Bobby Valentín. Yeah. Aquí prohibido mal, dile Charitín. Que perpico le tengo claritín. Yo llego a la disco y se forma el motín.
Certified, you know I'm gang, 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 gang. Woo! Drive to stop and blow the brand. Woo! Oh, he's so handsome, what's his name? Yeah. I need the dollars to just beat it up like Pinata. Turn the shops, close the curtains. Bad bitch, make a nerd.
Thank you. Hi, this is Mesa. When I want to be loved good, I spend my evenings with Mike T on the LoveZoneUSA.com. He knows how to love you right.
Well, 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 we are back, ladies and gentlemen, here on the Girlfriend Network. We are still talking about sex coaching one-on-one with our guest sex expert, Tyomi. And if you have any questions for her, make sure you call in at 347-539-5729. Now, Tyomi, you still here with us, though?
I am.
Great. So I have another question for you, my love, before this night is over. I just wanted to ask you a few questions about your coaching. How you do your coaching, and any advice? What's your number one advice? And what is an actual like session? Start with that advice and then go to the session. I'm really curious.
Well, my advice, I guess, for anybody that's looking to be coached is to be prepared to do the work. Your coach is not going to do the work for you. Your coach mm-hmm. is simply there to be a guide. And your life is not going to change, and you're not going to see the results that you desire if you're not willing to put in the work and actually apply what your coach is suggesting. And then for those who are looking to get into coaching, the best advice that I would give is to determine what your voice is and what types of people you want to coach, because there are a plethora of options out there for people to actually focus on. There's so many different demographics, and there are so many underserved demographics, yet it seems that everyone is clamoring for the spot of coaching like heteronormative relationships, and there's mm-hmm. so many nuanced demographics out there. So find your niche and find your voice. How do you want to coach? You know, I have several different ways that I coach people, whether it's phone calls or video coaching or via email or via the work that I do with CassiusLife.com or articles I've posted in the past on Ebony.com or BlackDoctor.org mm-hmm. and the numerous podcasts that I do. I mean, I give out a lot of coaching for mm-hmm. free through, you know, through YouTube and through social media. So I'm, you know, coaching the masses, but then people always come and they always have deeper questions that primarily pertain to their own specific situations. And everyone pretty much has the same issues, but everyone feels that because of the emotions that they personally attach to something, that somehow their issues are completely different. And they're not. It's usually the same stuff. So mm-hmm. when people come to me with nuanced questions and they want specific answers, that's where that one-on-one time comes in. But a lot of what I do is, you know, done via the internet and via social media, and then also, you know, the events that I do.
Yes, we'll get into that. But tell me, what is like the main complaint that, you know, why people seek your advice or your expert advice? Is it because they're bored in the bedroom, or is it because they want to know more about different sexual positions? What do you think, or what do you know?
People just don't know in general. You know, like the average person coming to me, they have something really specific that they're asking about, and it's just a lack of knowledge that they have. And with women, it always seems that they're trying to learn how to do something for their man, and the issue really is that they should be learning how to do things for themselves and putting their own pleasure first. And for me, how do I last longer, or how do I make her orgasm? And that's one thing that men have to realize, too, is that you can't make anyone do anything. If anything, you're just assisting her on the journey that her body is going through. And men are not knowledgeable and women aren't either of female sexual anatomy and how female bodies work. And men don't even know how their own bodies work. And men are extremely disconnected from their own bodies. And the average man is sexually immature. So there's just a lot of ignorance, sexual ignorance that's in the world. And it's no one's fault because this is how society has set it up to be, especially Western civilization. In the East, you know, sex used to be very much so rooted within spiritual practice, and that's where Tantra comes from. But throughout the years, with, you know, religion coming in and yada yada, they've created this concept that, you know, the mind and the body are separate from the spirit and sexuality, and, you know, it's just one big mess now. So, and it's not getting better, and that's the hard part. Like, I'm a part of the National Coalition for Sexual Health, and our job is to assist the public and to provide the public with ways to care for their sexual health. And as much work as we do, as much press as we get, as much influence that we have, it's still like fighting an uphill battle, because for everything that we put out, there's something else that is either misinformation or there's censorship trying to block the information that's being put out there. So it's just like the blind leading the blind, and a lot of trauma centered around sexuality in general. And people have to start there first with facing that trauma and being willing to admit that they don't know what they're doing, and admit that there are things that they want to change before we can actually change it. People on Twitter all the time make comments about things, and I'm like, you don't even know what you're talking about. That I have to come in and, you know, put my two cents in, which isn't an opinion. I'm coming from facts, and then it's like cricket because they never knew this stuff. I put up a tweet one time about Montgomery glands, which are located around the areola, and they're sebaceous glands basically to help moisturize the nipple, and it's really they're used for breastfeeding, so the baby can, you know, feel and know where the nipple is, and so that the nipple doesn't crack and get hard and, you know, bleed and stuff. And people didn't know that what they were. People were like, oh, I thought these were pimples. Oh, I thought I was dying. Oh, I thought I had cancer. And I'm like, wow, really? You guys don't know stuff? I mean, but I understand. I mean, it's not like they're going over anatomy of a breast in physiology or biology in school. And sex education in America is non-existent.
No, they're
pretty
not.
Much.
Absolutely so. Not. I remember when I was in school, oh my God, it was so ridiculous when I think about it. I'm a lot older than you women. But back in my day, they would divide the girls from the boys and in separate classrooms, and then they would show the boys one specific video, and then they would show the girls another specific video. And the girls, you know, it showed the vagina, it talked about the different parts and menstruation, and the boys, I don't even know what the hell they showed, but it was just ridiculous. You know, it was cartoon characters and little diagrams, and it's just like, what the hell? I remember we were sniffing and chuckling because we were so excited, and it's like, okay, this is so dry. And a lot of us even knew more than what the video was offering at that time anyway. Like, come on. But,
exactly.
I'm hoping things have progressed a little bit more since then, but, you know, it is. You're right, Tyomi. People are very uptight about the subject. They continue to be. I'm thinking about my own family. Like, my own mom would die. Like, if I did what you did, my mother would die. My grandmother would chastise me. They probably would disown me. And I'm just like, you know, everybody just needs to chill and let everybody be who they are, express who they want to be. I don't care if you're gay, homosexual, whatever. You know, just, like, how does that affect you? Or why are you so upset? What is the problem? But
you know what it is? It's, you know, we are all reflections of each other. So when people see a reflection of themselves that they have not yet connected with, these feelings are coming up in them of upset, because it's really their soul saying, hey, there's this thing within you that's causing a block from you connecting with that version of yourself. And it needs to be healed. But people don't look at those uncomfortable feelings as stuff coming up to be healed. They look at it as being offensive and an attack on themselves, and so then they attack you. And that's one thing I learned very early on online. It's like, you can't fight with trolls, and you can't fight with people who are hurting. And as I continue to go through my tantric studies toward certification, the one thing that I've developed even more is empathy, because I realized that the world is just hurting. And all of these people are really reaching out for help and love, and they want to connect. They just don't know how. And a lot of people have identified with the traumas that they've experienced in their lives. And so in healing that trauma, you have to give up that identity. And for some people, they don't know what it's like on the other side of that, and that's scary. So as much as they do have a desire to move forward, it's ego that's holding them back. So, you know, this work that we do is a lot deeper than what people think, because even when people come to me and they ask me for advice, they think that this sex position or this pill or this stretch or this stroke is going to save their relationship. And it's like, well, this may work for you in the moment, and it's deeper than what you think it is, because there's a mentality behind this that needs to be healed before any of this stuff is going to work. Because if you and your partner are not on the same page, and if you're not connected, nothing you do is going to work. So.
Right. Oh, that's great advice. Tyomi, I could say we're going to have you back, because there's so much. There's so many questions we want to ask you. There's so much we want to talk to you about. But just shifting gears a little bit, because we've been chuckling about this. I saw the article today. I don't know if you saw the article. Did you see the article about DJ Khalid or Khalid, whatever his name is?
Khaled.
The girls. Yes, thank you. But did you see that article, Tyomi, where this man said that he doesn't do oral sex because he's a king and it's not king things? And, yeah, the women should do oral sex all day long, but the men, no. I'm like, is he crazy? I think you should talk to him. Like, what is going on with him? Like, how can you even survive in today's world and not get oral sex? Who is doing that?
Well, I know a lot of people that I know a lot of people that's not doing it, and it's actually it's a deal breaker. It may be for you and for a lot of people, but it's actually okay. And yeah, I mean, some of the things that he said were very childish. I mean, he, like I said, most men are sexually immature. And he actually was on the Breakfast Club saying these things, and people, like, you know, started responding. But one thing I like to tell my clients and the people who follow me is that just because it is available does not mean that it's something for you. Some people are just not attracted to giving head. They just aren't. And the one thing we have to remember specifically as educators, too, is that not to cast judgment on people's sexual preferences and what they are naturally inclined to do and the things that they don't want to do. Everyone isn't going to be kinky. Everyone isn't going to want to go down. Everyone's not going to want to get on top or experience threesomes or stuff like that. Some people are fine in their vanilla world, and they might choose to spice it up by adding a toy here or there. And that's okay. Like, I tell people all the time, if this is something that you don't want to do, don't feel pressured into doing it simply because everybody else is appearing to do it. Just because it's an option doesn't mean you have to do it. You do what you feel most inclined to do and what brings you the most pleasure. And if it doesn't bring you pleasure to do something, you don't have to do it. So my take on it is completely different than the average woman specifically, because I'm not attached to getting head or giving head as much as I do enjoy giving and receiving. I'm completely unattached to it because I'm not always going to be in the mood. And, you know, I just feel like everybody has their limits. And for some people, going down is a hard no, and that's okay. We got to respect that.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
I think his response was, like, the more disgusting part about it.
Yeah.
Where he was just like, I'm the king.
Yeah, that part where he was like, appreciation is how you like that meal that
I just cooked the this house she living in. I was like, what does that have to do with going down? They just completely circumvented that. And really, it was like he used that whole idea of being the breadwinner and providing as a reason why he is he should be omitted from having to go down. Yet he should have just said it's something that I don't like to do and I prefer not to do it. And I like when it happens to me. I like to receive, but I don't like to give. He could have kept it at that instead of, like,
that's true.
Throwing in the whole I'm a man and I provide thing. That has nothing to do with your sexual preferences, my man. But again, just because you are famous and you have money, people know who you are, does not mean that you are in tune with your sexuality and you have the words to know how to communicate about your sexuality in a way that makes sense. The average person does not have those tools. And as educators and as coaches, it is our job to assist them with that, to have the tools to give them so that they can navigate the space and communicate what they need and communicate the things that they don't want to.
Absolutely. And I imagine he's probably got some insecurities with him himself as well, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, exactly. Right.
And
come
coming from
now.
His culture, I mean, I don't know how deep I don't know if he's Islam or anything like that. I don't know what his religious standing is, but he
Muslim,
is. Yeah, so if he's Muslim, most definitely he's not going down. I mean, that's the thing, too, especially when you are rooted in certain cultures and religions like Rastafarians. They don't do that either. Right. And
no,
a lot of Caribbean men, they don't do it. Yeah, so that's why I say we can't judge them harshly because if their spiritual practice is very much rooted in, if they have a deep spiritual practice, then there are certain things actually that they're just not going to connect with. And we can preach to them all day, every day, like, oh, you're not going to go to hell. This is just what it is. It's like, if that's what they believe, it's not for us to change their mind. It's for us just to respect their space and to also let them know, like, it's okay if you do this thing. And if you want to use your religion as a reason why you don't want to do it, that's fine, too. You have that autonomy.
Right, but say that, like you said, like I would respect that. I don't do that because you know it goes against my culture or my religious beliefs. Then okay, but you know to say what you said, like you said, which is totally off point and not even on tangent. Like, how are you comparing me paying bills to going down? Like, are you just saying you're superior to women because you're a man and we should
bow
down?
He didn't know what to say. He got thrown
it
off, honestly.
Idiotic.
I feel like he. He, first of all, of course, is sexually immature, and then secondly, you know, sexually immature in his communication. Like, he doesn't have the words to communicate this stuff. And then, two, he got thrown off. Like, I'm pretty sure he didn't expect to go on the Breakfast Club and get asked that question. I don't even know how it came up. Like, I feel like now I have to go watch the entire video.
I didn't know that was even there, so thank you. I'm going to check that out. I've only saw the interview.
So I have a question. It's going to be really, really personal. I don't want to offend you, but what is your personal sexual preference? Since we are talking about sexuality and hard limits, what is your sexuality? Heterosexual, bisexual? What is it when you like people and not sexuality? What is it?
Asexual.
I'm sorry. Yes, yes. Not asexual, but it's like pansexual. Did you say pan or a? Pansexual, yes.
Well, if you don't have sexual desires at all, that's asexual. If you're pansexual, you're kind of just open for everything. And, you know, I don't really like to use all these labels and terms and stuff because I feel like with labels and terms comes, like, conditions and judgments and preconceived expectations. But I just say I'm a lover. Like, I am into people. I found myself being attracted to trans people, women, men, queer, whatever, like, because I'm attracted to energy. And so that's what I go off of more than anything. And especially now that I am doing more work, more spiritually inclined work through Tantra, I'm very conscious of who I share my energy with. mm-hmm. because I'm not trying to go backwards in the work that I'm doing on myself. So I'm open, and I am a person that enjoys to experiment. I like to play. I am a kinky person, and I like to explore my kinks. I enjoy group sex. I enjoy watching people. I'm open like that, and also at the same time very conscious of the people at this point in my life, because I can't say in the past I was always so conscious, but at this point
in my
life.
Is your husband?
My husband is open. I would say he's open, and he's learning a lot in being with me because he grew up in Islam. He is Muslim. So most of his life he was celibate. And it's beautiful to be with somebody who I can express myself with, and we both have been finding out that we share a lot of the same kinks. So he is with someone who he can express himself with without judgment and without defenses, and likewise am I. I mean, we had threesomes within the first year of our relationship. It was something he always wanted to experience. I had already experienced them. And, you know, it was great. And so we just have, like, this whole life ahead of us of other kinky and sensual experiences, and I'm looking forward to, and I'm sure he is too.
That's wonderful. Tyomi, we are almost out of time, but we want you to, again, let our listeners know where they can find you. Tell us how to find you on social media, your website, your YouTube, all that. And if you want to talk very quickly, because we're almost out of time, about your husband's book and your church, because we didn't even get into that. Go ahead.
Oh, yes. Well, we run a church online. It's called Real Love Church. We focus on love, sex, relationships, and money. You can follow me on Instagram at The Real Glamazon Tyomi, and we actually broadcast on Instagram Live and YouTube Live every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern. My YouTube channel is Glam Erotica 101. My blog site is glamerotica101.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Glamazon Tyomi and Snapchat at Glamazon Tyomi. And honestly, if you just put Glamazon Tyomi or Tyomi Morgan in Google, you can find all this stuff.
Well,
Thank you, Tyomi. Yes. Thank you so much for joining us. We're going to have you back. Please come back. We wish you the best of luck and good luck with your
channel
and the sistership and all that stuff. I didn't even know all that was going on. So,
oh, yeah, it's a lot going on.
Yes. So let us know how you're doing. And like I said, we want to have you back so we can expand further, because there's so many different avenues and things that you're doing. We only tapped into a small arena tonight. So we want to thank you. Thank you to Sonia Marquez, the author of The Kinky Chronicles, mm-hmm. for joining us tonight, our special guest host. Listeners, thank you again for tuning in. And we'll be back same time, same place next week right here on the Girlfriend Network. Peace and love.
Good night.
Good night.
Pick up the phone, show me it was real. Pick up the phone, show me it was real. Pick up the phone, show me it was real. Pick up the phone. Yeah, yeah. I don't wanna put no pressure on ya. I just wanna put a blessing on ya. Since our last undressing session, I'm not really sure if you've been checking. I'm progressing. I just heard my songs are popping out in Macedonia and even Serbia. I don't mean to burden you. If you got a man since then, I understand. Last thing I want to do is get you jammed, especially if he's a fan. He probably never want to hear my shit again. And I need every single sound scan. But if you single and you down, then I'm in your town feeding for another round. I was counting down the days. Been more patient than a Browns fan. Where that chip at? Probably on your shoulder, cause I forgot to hit back. Left you on red. Apologies I said, but often never meant. Well, that I repent for message never sent. Now.
Hello, stranger. It's been a minute since we last kissed. By the way, just got in town. And I won't let cumulus clouds all in the sky ruin my vibe. Usually I don't do this often, but since recruiting isn't an option due to unusual rain and thunder, baby, I wonder, baby, I wonder, would you just put your sweats on, put your sweats on for me, yeah. I got the plug, I made the call for green. Mm-hmm. I'm talking late night for ya. Let me lay a great time on ya. Don't hesitate, no, don't you. Mm-hmm. Just say you will. Come through and chill. Just say you will. Stranger, babe's been waiting. Just as I recall, that ass is still amazing. I'm playing, baby. No, I'm saying, baby, you love it, but you know I'm crazy. So go ahead and pour a drink up. I'm so glad we got to link up. Yeah, get to taking that off of me. Yeah. I got the plug, I made the call for green. Mm-hmm. I'm talking late night for ya. Let me lay a great time on ya. Don't make me wait, no, don't you. Mm-hmm. Just say you will come through and chill.
Tell us some real shit. Yeah. In case my lack of reply had you catching them feelings, know you've been on my mind like Kaepernick kneeling, or police killings, or Trump saying slick shoot, manipulating poor white folks because they ignorant, blind to the struggles of the ones that got the pigment. Lately I've been stressing because it seems so malignant. I need to feel your essence in my presence if you with it. I guarantee you won't regret you did it.
The future of frozen is here. The new Cosmic Coulada at Dunkin'. Far out flavors that are out of this world. Cosmic Cotton Candy and Cosmic Pineapple, both layered with cool blue raspberry. Like a galaxy in your cup. Every sip is an adventure. Now, try any small Coulada for $2. Keep the adventure going with the new Comet Candy Donut. It's a vanilla frosted donut sprinkled with cotton candy flavored popping candies for a fun take on a classic flavor. Dunkin's new Cosmic Coulada flavors and Comet Candy Donut are worth the trip no matter how far. The universe runs on Dunkin'. Plus applicable taxes, participation may vary, limited time offer. The future of frozen is here. The new Cosmic Coulada at Dunkin'. Far out flavors that are out of this world. Cosmic Cotton Candy and Cosmic Pineapple, both layered with cool blue raspberry. Like a galaxy in your cup. Every sip is an adventure. Now, try any small Coulada for $2. Keep the adventure going with the new Comet Candy Donut. It's a vanilla frosted donut sprinkled with cotton candy flavored popping candies for a fun take on a classic flavor. Dunkin's new Cosmic Coulada flavors and Comet Candy Donut are worth the trip no matter how far. The universe runs on Dunkin'. Plus applicable taxes, participation may vary, limited time offer.